Now I want to talk about something which I believe is probably on most of Americans' minds, and that is today, September 11, 2021. And of course, we go back to September 11, 2001. And in our update, we do quote an article by Newsmax dated September 6, titled "The Day That Changed Our World." And parts of the article read, "It was America's worst nightmare." It's hard to believe that September 11, 2021 marks the 20th anniversary of that horrific day. In carefully choreographed attacks, Al-Qaeda terrorists commandeered two passenger jets and crashed them into the Twin Towers in New York City, seized a third plane that slammed into the Pentagon, and crashed a fourth that was likely intended to destroy the U.S. Capitol. Well, actually, the reason it was crashed was because of some heroic intervention of some passengers on that plane. And then it goes on to say, in just 77 minutes, nearly 3,000 perished on American soil. The remains of more than 1,000 victims of 9/11 are still unidentified today. Now, that's the time many songs were written and performed, and since then many further songs were written and performed, but the one which I believe is one of the best and which came out at the time and which I believe has a lot of meaning was a song written by Alan Jackson with the title, "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning on That September Day?" I'd like to just quote a little bit from that poem, that song. Amongst other things he's saying here, "Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? And then later, did you feel guilty because you are a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home?" And there was a very famous religious leader who talked about blowing the dust off your Bible. You probably heard that statement. The question, of course, is it going to happen again? Will it happen again on American soil? There are warning signs. There are people warning of that possibility or probability. The Sun wrote on August 30 that ex-British Army officer Colonel Richard Kemp said that for 20 years, the West had stopped terrorist attacks being launched from Afghanistan. But President Biden's withdrawal of forces from the country betrayed all the efforts made by the UK and the US troops. He said, "It makes the threat from Afghanistan the greatest it has ever been." And then we have some more articles published already in the last update, which kind of blow the trumpet of warning in the same way. For instance, thousands of Islamic State prisoners were freed by the Taliban. ISIS terrorists, some of whom were responsible for the attack at Kabul airport, and who is to say that the Taliban wasn't behind it also. And then the Sun wrote on August 30 that that nightmare is fast becoming reality, with Osama bin Laden's security chief among those swarming back into Afghanistan. So yes, it doesn't look very good at all. But what about the Bible? Has the Bible anything to say about the possibility that there's going to be another terrorist attack or more than just one on American soil? Worse, much worse than what happened on September 1, 20 years ago. It's September 11, I should say. Let's turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, because God gives a warning to the modern house of Israel. And we all know that the United States of America are part of the modern house of Israel. And he said, if you don't obey me, this is what's going to happen. Leviticus 26 and in verse 16. He says, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. He will appoint or bring terror, sudden terror, as some translations have it, over the house of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and let's look at verse 25. He says, that's what's going to happen if you don't obey me. The sword shall destroy outside. There shall be terror within. For the young man and virgin and the nursing child with a man of gray hairs. The sword outside, think of Afghanistan, how a few Taliban terrorists scared the American troops away. They just left. And terror within. It's in the United States, on American soil. It's prophesied. It's going to happen. We have to just wait and see how exactly it's going to happen. Notice Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15. Verse 8. Their widows will be increased to me more than the sand of the seas. I will bring against them, against the mother of the young men, a plunderer at noonday. I will cause anguish and terror to fall on them suddenly. If you read the entire passage, you find it's addressed or addressing Jerusalem and God's people. Notice Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. And verse 16. The day of the Lord here is described mainly attacking Judah, or talking about Judah, but of course Israel would be included as well. It's a day of trumpets and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. Now we saw already two towers fall in New York. More is to come. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 25. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Again, talking about the fall of Israel. Now, it might also talk about all the armaments trying to defend an enemy. But it's interesting that time and again, towers are mentioned. Another one is Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 18. And I like to read that first from here and then from the New Jerusalem Bible. Isaiah 33 and verse 13. Isaiah 33 and verse 18. Your heart will meditate on terror. Where is the scribe? Where is he who weighs? Where is he who counts the towers? The New Jerusalem Bible translates it, your heart will meditate on past terrors. Where is the man who counted the towers? In other words, to destroy them. By that time, Jerusalem, Zion is saved, but they will look back at these events which will take place, which are still future for us. You know, America's new policy has made these events much more likely to occur very soon. We had 20 years, if you please, of breathing space where we didn't have a terrorist attack from the outside. Now, we had some attacks from the inside with some sleeper cells, but not from the outside in the way we had it 20 years ago. But it appears God's patience is running out. And he gives a nation the leaders which the nation deserves. And so, President Biden made more news this week with an unprecedented announcement regarding mandatory vaccinations. And as some have pointed out, and I will point out in a moment, he did it in all likelihood to detract and distract from the debacle which he caused in Afghanistan. Now, we have an article in our updates written by CNN, dated September 9, saying that the president will direct the Labor Department to require all businesses, we talk about private businesses, with 100 or more employees, ensure their workers are either vaccinated or tested once a week. Companies could face thousands of dollars in fines per employee if they don't comply. Biden plans to sign an executive order requiring all government employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19 with no option of being tested to opt out. The president will also sign an order directing the same standard be applied to employees of contractors who do business with the federal government. The Huffington Post added on September 9 that the directives represent a significant step in pushing the private sector, an area where the president has been hesitant to use federal powers too heavily. No, he hasn't been hesitant. He has promised he wouldn't do it. And so, as a consequence, the Republican National Committee plans to sue President Joe Biden over his COVID-19 vaccine mandate. And they said, Joe Biden told Americans when he was elected that he would not impose vaccine mandates. He lied. Now, the records are clear and very well documented that President Biden, before he became president, has lied continuously. He has a history of lying, so much so that he was forced to drop out a presidential race because he was caught telling lie after lie after lie. I mean, Newsmax had a very interesting report and on a program on that with videos showing his constant lies. So the American people knew or should have known that you can't believe him, but they voted him maybe anyway. But it goes deeper than that. The New York Post wrote on September 10, and my comment would be, Biden trouble will continue. It won't be long now. Remember that song, It Won't Be Long Now? So this is what the article by the New York Post wrote. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem said, this is not a power that is delegated to the federal government. This is a power for states to decide. Senator Ted Cruz from Texas said, the feds have no authority to force employers make their employees get vaccinated. A spokesperson for the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said that Biden's not about freedom remarks, that it's not about freedom, was possibly the most disturbing thing I've ever heard a politician say, and I worked in Eastern European politics for years. Nebraska's Governor Pete Ricketts said what Biden said, he forgot that we live in America. He thinks we are living in the Soviet Union. And the hypocrisy of this is just unbelievable. Then you have Senator Ben Sasse. He accused Biden of being, and that's why I'm bringing this up in the context of September 11, he accused Biden of being so desperate to distract from his shameful, incompetent Afghanistan exit that he is saying crazy things and pushing constitutionally flawed executive orders. This is a cynical attempt to pick a fight and distract from the president's morally disgraceful decision to leave Americans behind Taliban lines on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And let me just say this. The statement that only 100 or 200 Americans are left behind is another blatant lie. Some say, oh, it must be at least 500. Others feel, and perhaps rightly so, it's probably in the thousands, maybe up to 5,000 people. The problem is, we don't even know how many Americans are over there. They are not telling us. They are not telling us. They say they don't know. In other words, lots of people are left behind, have been left behind by a completely, totally incompetent course of conduct. But of course, as I said, the nation gets the leadership it deserves. What is troublesome are the comments which Mr. Biden made in his speech. Comments like, we have been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. Many of us are frustrated with the nearly 80 million Americans who are still not vaccinated. I understand your anger at those who haven't gotten vaccinated. We are going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated co-workers. And Breitbart wrote that the president also directed his ire toward Republican governors opposing its vaccine mandates. And he said, I will use my power as president to get them out of the way. Let me just say that Adolf Hitler's popular minister who would speak on his behalf, Joseph Goebbels, couldn't have done a better job when it comes to persecuting those who are in the way. To me, King Midas in reverse applies to President Biden. What do I mean by that? Now, you all know about King Midas, right? King Midas was a guy, when he touched something, it turned to gold. King Midas in reverse is somebody, when he touches something, it turns to ashes and dust. And that's President Biden. He has been looked upon as probably the worst incompetent president in the history of the United States. And he is being looked upon as becoming the most dictatorial president in the United States. And that means something if you think of the presidents we had. And another 3 years are in the making if everything goes as planned by the Democrats. But you see, it's not just talking about America, it's talking about the world. Think about the fact that if, in fact, Dr. Fauci was somewhat involved in creating this virus in China, as reports are now suggesting, and think in terms of how angry the world has already become at China and about the quote-unquote China virus. And then think about the possibility that terrorist attacks will happen, not just in America, but also, let's say, in Europe. And who is going to be blamed? Well, of course, President Biden is going to be blamed. What is the reaction going to be? Just imagine that for a moment. I found a very interesting article by the Ron Paul Institute, which was published September 10, written by Jeffrey Tucker. And he talked about the five problems, at least five problems, which are associated with President Biden's vaccination mandate. One, the Biden mandate pretends that the only immunity is injected, not natural, even though all science for centuries contradicts that. Two, this natural immunity is long-lasting and broad, and we have known that since last year when the first studies revealed it. You can say that the addition of a vaccine provides even more, but it's new and untested, a new and untested relative to most drugs approved by regulators, and many people are concerned about possible side effects of this vaccine that was approved much faster than any drug in my lifetime. And there is not one living human being in a position to say with certainty that these skeptics are wrong. Three, the mandate presumes that everyone is equally susceptible to severe outcomes from getting exposed to the virus, which we know is not true. Four, Biden seems still of the belief that vaccines stop infection, he claims this many times, and spread, but we know with certainty that this is not the case, as even the CDC admits. And five, Biden's order flies in the face of basic human freedoms and rights. People get really mad, especially after they are still forced into masks and denied other essential rights. Truth is that my phone has been blowing up all evening since Biden's speech. People are demoralized, panicked, furious, and even at the point of losing it completely over this despotic moment in which we are living. And again, as I said before, it has to be your decision whether you want to get vaccinated or not, but it had better be your decision. And no government has a right to mandate such a vaccination, doing away with all liberties and all freedoms and all personal rights which we have under the American Constitution. Now, the article goes on to say, and that was really an eye-opener to me, the illusion of control has seized the barely functioning brains of the ruling classes of the world's richest nations. I like that, the barely functioning brains. Goes on to say, if this doesn't prove the astonishing stupidity of the world's most powerful and educated, nothing else in history does. And the following comment strikes close to home, to our home, at least it should. I thought of the religious minorities in medieval Europe who were scapegoated for every plague, or the demonization of rebels in the ancient Roman Empire, or the disapprobation of heretics in the hundreds of years that followed the fall of Rome. That is you and me. That is the membership of the true Church of God. That is a people who have been demonized, persecuted, blamed, scapegoated for everything which went wrong, because the religious authorities and the political authorities didn't like what the Church of God stands for. And then the article concludes, this is a mark of a primitive society. Scapegoating is apparently an eternal feature of the human experience. Governments seem particularly good at it, even when it is less believable than ever. Next week we are going to keep the Day of Atonement. On that day we will talk about Satan the devil, that he is ruling this world, and that he is ruling governmental officials, leaders in this world. But we will also talk about the fact that his rule is almost over. And for that, we should thank God.